InnoWeb Senior Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Integrating WebSphere Message Broker Version 7 with SAP. Today's presenter is Vivek Rover. Vivek is a Level 2 Technical Support Engineer for WebSphere Message Broker. His responsibilities include troubleshooting customer real-time problems worldwide and providing resolution. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vivek.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. My name is Vivek Grover, and I work for WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 Support. Thanks all for joining. I see quite a few familiar names. Hopefully this session will be helpful to you. We have a lot to cover today, so let's start with slide number 2. The agenda slide talks about the topics that we're going to look at today. We'll give a little overview on WebSphere Adapter for SAP. We'll talk about some useful SAP terms just to familiarize those who are new to the message broker and SAP. We'll also talk about some available interfaces in Message Broker and Adapter to access SAP. We'll talk about outbound and inbound support, sequence of operations. We'll also talk about the SAP Adapter metadata discovery. Then we'll talk about configuring the Message Broker toolkit and configuring the runtime piece to communicate with SAP. Then we'll talk about some of the new features that have been introduced in Message Broker version 7 with respect to the adapter and Message Broker communication with SAP. We'll also talk about migrating from the traditional WBI adapters to Message Broker version 7 that has inbuilt adapters. We'll talk about the performance considerations, and then we'll go over some quick troubleshooting and debugging techniques. Let's go to slide number 3, please. Message Broker version 7 integrates with SAP using WebSphere Adapters version 7. Adapters are the components that allow you to create integrated processes that exchange the data with SAP through a standard interface. And we'll look at some of these, we'll look at these standard interfaces in just a moment. But these adapters basically make connection with the SAP system using the SAP Java connectors, version 305. There's 3 adapter nodes that are shipped with Message Broker, version 7, SAP input node, SAP reply node, and SAP request node. Message Broker Toolkit version 7 also provides a toolkit adapter connection wizard tool. This tool can be used to discover the services on the SAP server and then generate the resources and business objects based on that to create the adapter connection to SAP and vice versa. Let's go to slide number 4, please. Once you run this adapter connection wizard, it creates these components in the toolkit, the adapter component file. It creates a message set, which basically contains the XSDs for the business objects in SAP, and also creates a message flow containing the WebSphere adapter nodes. The message flow can further be expanded to suit your needs and requirements. The message flow, like I said, can be tailored as per your needs, and then later you can deploy the complete package, message flow, message set, and also the adapter project to the broker via the bar file. Once these resources are deployed to the broker runtime, the broker also uses the same resources, basically, to connect to SAP. In addition, broker runtime also gets some details from the SAP configurable service that you will have to define, either define or use the existing one. We'll also see that in a moment. So let's go to slide number 5, please. Here's a few terms that one needs to be familiar with before we move forward. SAP Java connector, basically used for a Java application, such as the adapters within Message Broker to communicate back and forth with any SAP system. It is very important to understand that adapters use SAP Java connectors to make the connection with SAP. The connector is not, this connector is not provided with message broker. Adapters are shipped with message broker. The connector piece has to be downloaded separately. The IDOC or intermediate document is used as a vehicle for data transfer in the SAP world. It represents SAP business objects as flat structures. It contains a header and segments of data. So an IDOC is basically a proprietary format defined by SAP for business data transmission in the asynchronous mode. Slide number 6, please. Here's a few more definitions. RFC, or remote function call, is a protocol used in SAP world for remote communication with other applications or with other SAP systems. EMD, or Enterprise Metadata Discovery, is a process that's used by the adapters to search and to examine the SAP system. And it gets the details of the business object data structures and the other APIs that reside on the SAP system. Once these details are determined, it then stores these definitions as XML schemas by default. Toolkit version 7 uses such components built by the adapter after performing the EMD to then access SAP. The next one here is ABAP, or Advanced Business Application Programming, which is it's the programming language that is used to develop reports and interfaces for SAP applications. These programs reside in a SAP database. Let's go to slide number 7, please. Slide number 7 introduces a few more terms here. BAPI, or Business APIs. These are the standard interfaces. It's a standard interface used for both synchronous or asynchronous integration. BAPIs support both inbound and outbound interactions. BAPI calls are basically useful in data retrieval or manipulation, and a BAPI or an RFC function that performs a task which already exists in SAP. These are defined in the business object repository as methods of SAP business objects or SAP interface types. And we'll go a little bit more into the details of BAPI inbound and outbound in just a little bit, but this is just to introduce these interfaces. Also, there is ALE, or Application Link Enabling. It's another integration interface in SAP's business framework architecture. It enables the software components from SAP and other vendors to communicate with each other. And ALE uses IDOCs for asynchronous data exchange. It also supports both inbound and outbound interactions. Let's go to slide number 8, please. AEP, or Advanced Event Processing Interface, also uses IDOCs, generally custom IDOCs, for the data transfer. The event is placed in an event table in the SAP application database, and the adapter pulls this event table and retrieves the event and associated IDOC that are using the custom ABAP handlers, and then propagates it further down to the endpoint. And this supports also, again, both inbound and outbound interactions. QISS, or Query Interface for SAP Software, is another interface that supports outbound interactions only. It makes use of an exist operation that looks up the records and returns the table objects. Then there is also a retrieve all operation that retrieves the data from single or multiple tables and then puts it in a container of table business objects. Slide number 9, please. These interfaces are supported for an outbound connection, meaning the request going out from the message flow to SAP. So the first one I have here is the BAPI interface. BAPI could be a single BAPI call or a BAPI unit of work, meaning multiple BAPI calls in a single interaction. It could also be a BAPI result set, meaning the result of one call is used by another call in a single interaction. For ALEs, the adapter converts the business object to an IDOC and delivers it to SAP. Adapter can also be configured such that it performs no conversion of the IDOC. In these cases, the client application has to perform the IDOC parsing. This is called ALE pass-through IDOC. With asynchronous interaction, ALEs associate transaction IDs with the transactions. And if these transactions are expected to be in a certain order, as in first in, first out order, then a queue can be used on the SAP side, and it makes it a QRFC interface within ALE. So it's using the transaction ID, but it's also using the queue from where the messages could be retrieved first in, first out. AEP makes use of an event table in SAP, and it uses the ABAP handlers for custom IDOCs. And then there's QISS interface for outbound operation. It may be used to retrieve application table data, or like I said earlier, could also perform an exist operation and then a retrieve all operation. So on the right hand side, you can see a little picture there. The figure shows the message flow on the left hand side, and it goes through the SAP adapter via the available interface that you have configured. And on the right hand side, there's the SAP application. If you're using QRFC interface within ALE, you have to use the SAP queue. And if you're using AEP interface, you're using the ABAP modules residing on the SAP server. Let's go to slide number 10, please. So here are some very general steps that are involved in the outbound communication between adapter and SAP. Outbound, again, meaning the request is going out from message flow via adapter to SAP. The first step is a SAP request node will be used here to initiate the request. It invokes an interaction with SAP. Step number two, the business object that represents the SAP function call is then passed from flow to the adapter. The adapter then extracts the elements from the business object. It also recognizes the interface that you have configured on the adapter, as in BAPI or AEP or ALE or QISS. Then it uses the SAP Java connector, and the adapter converts the business object data to the appropriate SAP function call and makes the connection to SAP. The adapter then executes the function on the destination SAP software system. Slide number 11, please. For the inbound support, meaning the event occurring on SAP is then being propagated to the broker, supports these three interfaces. BAPI, you can register the SAP adapter in message broker with SAP as an RFC server so that it accepts synchronous and asynchronous calls from SAP. ALE interface can be used to get the IDOCs from SAP to the broker. Again, the ALE pass-through can be used if parsing is to be performed by the client application. To ensure a first-in, first-out order, you may again use QRFC support. Event recovery table may be used for the inbound event management in case of any failures within the advanced event processing. Let's go to slide number 12. Here are some general steps involved in communication between adapter and SAP in the inbound mode, if you will. For ALE and BAPI inbound, the adapter spawns listener threads acting as the RFC server, listening for the activity on SAP. Whenever an event occurs in SAP, the event is pushed to the adapter through these event listeners. And in the event of an abrupt termination, the adapter can track and recover events by using the data source to persist the event state in the event recovery table. It needs to be configured on the adapter connection. For AEP inbound, the adapter pulls the SAP event table and retrieves the event and and the associated IDOCs using the custom ABAP handlers on that reside on SAP. Slide 13, please. Here are the steps for BAPI outbound operation. So in this case, the adapter, it receives a request from the message flow in the form of a BAPI business object. It then converts the BAPI business object to a SAP Java connector function call and then establishes the RFC connection to the SAP application. It uses the RFC interface to process the BAPI or RFC function call in the SAP application. And then it receives a response from SAP and converts it to business object format and passes it to the requesting client application or message flow in case of asynchronous, if the transaction is synchronous. Let's go to slide number 14. Here are the steps for BAPI inbound operation. In this case, the adapter starts the event listeners, which listen for RFC enable function events on the SAP server. The call is invoked on the adapter in synchronous or asynchronous manner within a transaction ID. Then the adapter resolves the operation and business object name using the received RFC enabled function name. The adapter then sends the business data to the endpoint or the message flow. And the adapter then receives the response business object from the endpoint if it's a synchronous operation. Otherwise, it removes the transaction ID from the event persistent table if ensure once-only delivery property is set on the adapter. The adapter maps the response business object to an RFC-enabled function, and it then returns it to the SAP server. Slide number 15. This foil shows the steps for ALE outbound operation. In ALE outbound operation, it receives an IDOC request from the message flow. It uses the IDOC business object to populate the RFC function call and then establishes the RFC connection. Then it sends the data to the SAP. If QRFC is used, then the order specified in the wrapper business object is used to send the data to the queue in SAP, and then SAP recovers it in the first-in, first-out fashion. And then it releases the RFC connection. The adapter supports a J2C local transaction. Then the TID is returned back to the caller. Slide 16. This foil shows the steps for ALE inbound operation. The adapter, again, just like the BAPI, it starts the event listeners to the SAP server. When the event occurs in SAP, it is sent to the adapter through the event listeners. Then the adapter converts the event into a business object before sending it to the message flow endpoint. And the event, again, can be recovered in case of any abrupt termination. Slide 17, please. For AAP, outbound sequence of operation is as shown on this foil. The adapter receives the record containing business data along with the metadata from endpoint. Then the adapter uses the metadata to reformat the business object data into the structure of the IDOC. The adapter then passes the business object data to the object-specific ABAP handler residing on SAP, and this handles the integration with an SAP native API. The ABAP handler then returns the response data in IDOC format to the adapter, which then converts it back to the business object, and the adapter then returns the results back. Let's go to slide 18, please. This foil shows AAP inbound operation. Unlike the other two, ALE and BAPI, AEP actually pulls the event table residing in SAP for event transports provided with the adapter to set up the event table. Adapter retrieves the event using the ABAP handler and then forwards it to the endpoint. The events are archived in the SAP system once they are processed. I've also listed the event priorities in the event table. There's zero stands for ready for poll, one meaning it's already delivered, negative one meaning it has failed, do means it has, that the event is reviewed, 3 is event in progress, and 4 is event locked. Slide number 19 now. Here's the sequence of steps listed for the QISS. Now, QISS is just for outbound, so the adapter here receives a request that includes a table object from a message flow. The adapter determines from the table object, which was sent to, with the query, the name of the table that it needs to examine on the SAP side. Adapter then determines the columns that it needs to retrieve or it needs to examine. The adapter then determines the rows to retrieve or examine. Finally, the adapter responds for, if it's a retrieve all operation, the adapter returns a result set in the form of a container of query business objects. If it's an exist operation, the adapter returns an indication of whether the data exists in the SAP table or not. If no data exists, the adapter generates an exception. Let's go to slide number 20. This picture here actually shows the different components that are different components and processes that are involved in performing the metadata discovery. You see the toolkit on the left-hand side that has the EMD plugin, Enterprise Metadata Discovery plugin. It queries the EIS or SAP in our case, and we are the adapter, which is also the part of toolkit node. The adapter, having the EMD service, performs the query using the provided interface that you have configured it for, and it imports all the metadata information and returns it back to toolkit to build the business objects in the message sets and in the form of message sets and message definitions. The inbound and outbound adapter components are also generated at this time, which can be used to further create your message flow as well as for the connection, for providing the connectivity. Let's move to slide number 21, please. So let's go through the process of running the wizard once. You would first need to download the SAP Java connectors. Like I said, these are not provided with Message Broker. You need to download the SAP Java connectors for both Broker and Toolkit operating systems. You can download them from the SAP Service Marketplace link that is provided here. You would be required to create a SAPnet account here before you can download it. So if you don't have an account there, you would need to create it. And once you create the account, I've given you the location, the directory where you need to go under connectors and then SAP Java connectors and under tools and services, leading to download SAP Java Connector Release 305. You would need to download the SAP Java connectors, again, like for both Broker and Toolkit operating systems, and then once downloaded, you extract the contents of the zip file or the tar file and make a note of this directory. Let's go to slide 22. So open your Toolkit workspace, and then select Start from Adapter Connection. And then at this time it will invoke the Adapter Connection wizard for you. So you select, it gives you a few choices there for the kind of EIS you are using. In our case, we are using SAP, so you would select IBM WebSphere Adapter for SAP software, and then you would click Next. This is after you've downloaded and you've downloaded your SAP Java connector, because you will be using the location of the connector in the connection wizard. Let's go to slide number 23. So here, provide the connector project name. Look at the screen on the left-hand side. I apologize if it's not very clear, but once you download the PDF document, you can enlarge it and it will be clear. But here you can provide the connector project name and then click Next as per the screen on the left. And then as you can see on the screen on the right-hand side, you would be prompted to provide the location of your jar file. This is the SAP Java connector that you downloaded. When you extract it, you see a jar file And you'll also see a library. In Windows, the file names are sapjco3.jar and sapjco3.dll. The jar file stays the same, has the same name across the different operating systems, but the library changes as well as the extension changes. Let's go to slide 24, please. So after you've provided the Java connector, jar, and library location, you click Next, and then it brings you to the screen where you need to select outbound or inbound connection as per the screenshot on the left-hand side. Then you click Next. When you click Next, it'll take you to the screen on the right. You fill out the SAP connection credentials here and the type of interface, as you can see on the window. Notice the different fields here that you need to fill in, including the SAP server host name information and the type of interface you would like to use. For this example, we are using ALE interface, but you can see for inbound operation, you can see AEP, ALE pass-through IDOC, and BAPI interface options are also available. So depending on the one you need, you can select that. So in this case, we are going to use ALE interface. And the type of interface you use would matter because in the next few screenshots, you will see that there would be slightly different screens that would appear depending on the type of interface that you will be using. So there is an advanced button here, as you can see in the screenshot. And if you click on it, you would see some further options that we will see in the next screen print. Let's go to slide 25. As you can see in this example, we've selected ALE interface. When you click on the advanced, you would see further options. One of them is for RFC trace and the level of information that you would like to see in the RFC trace. There's also level of logging that you can select in the log file. There is another property called BD or by die properties, which is mainly for bi-direction reading in case you're dealing with Arabic or Urdu languages that are read from right to left. When you click Next, you would see the screenshot on the right-hand side of the screen, of this foil, I mean. You can expand ALE. You'll see ALE first with the plus sign next to it, so expand it and you would see the screenshot, what the screenshot shows here. Discover IDOC from system or discover IDOC from a file on the SAP server. So we selected system here and then click on there's a yellow filter icon right above the ALE on the left-hand side at the top. If you select that, you can provide the filter as we'll see in the next foil. So let's go to slide 26, Joseph. So when you clicked on that yellow filter icon, it will give you that adapter connection filter screen that you see on the left-hand side here. So provide the filter pattern for which you want to discover the metadata on the SAP server. Then click OK on the filter window and then click on the plus sign next to ALE, discover IDOC from system now. This is the time when you click on the plus sign, this is the time it would perform the discovery on the SAP server. And at this time, it will give you the list of services to choose from based on the filter that you have provided, as you can see on the right-hand side now. It's given me the list. I selected customer SPLAT as the filter, and it has given me all the services associated with the customer object, and it has given me a bunch of those objects, a bunch of those services to select from. So in this case, we've selected the customer for create operation. So then select the required service. In this case, like I said, we've selected the create service, and you select that and then click on the add selected discovered objects to the selected objects. So drag it to the right-hand side. Let's go to slide number 27. Here, it gives you some more choices for the attributes of the business objects that need to be created based on the on the interface. In this case, we selected AIRI interface and also the discovered service, the customer create service that you have that it discovered and you selected. So once you select these attributes, you can click OK. The defaults are all blank, basically. All are unchecked, all these options on the left-hand side. In this example, I have selected send an IDOC pattern as one business object. If you have a requirement to do so, you can select that. And then when you click OK, it will take you back to the original screen, or the previous screen, I mean, as you can see on the right-hand side, it has found the services, the discovery is over. You've discovered the services, you've selected the service that you want to deal with, and then you click Next. So let's go to slide 28. So now that you have selected the IDOC and its attributes, the service, and you've selected the IDOC associated with that and its attributes, you would then need to select the service operation you are going to perform. These options here include create, update, and delete. It also builds the business object namespace at the bottom left inside the bottom of the screen, or the screenshot on the left that you can see business object namespace. On the right-hand side, once you've selected the service operation and you click Add button there, it wants you to select the IDOC identifier when you click the Add button there. So select the IDOC identifier associated with the service operation and then click Next. So let's go to slide 29 now. So on the left-hand side, you see the same screen with all the options selected on the and on the right-hand side, it wants you to provide the password information to the SAP server again. You will notice the rest of the credentials are already filled out for you, so based on the credentials you had provided earlier. Let's go to slide 30 now. There's also an advanced button here on the same screen for additional configuration. These properties include tuning for load balancing, or number of listeners on the adapter interface for performance purposes. Also, there is a setting for ALE event status in case you would like to see the errors or if you want to ignore them, or if you would like to see ALE update status with the status coming per packet, etc. So you can select these different options depending on how you want to configure it. And if you click Next here, you would see on the right-hand side, it asks you the names of the message flow. It actually pre-fills the names for the message flow and message set projects and the adapter component names. So you can change it or keep those names same. You would have to give the adapter component name here and then select Finish. Let's go to slide 31. So once you finish it, it will process and it will create these objects for you, these components in the toolkit. The adapter connection wizard has finished creating the adapter and it has created the business objects, discovered the objects, created business objects to be used within Message Broker toolkit and the Message Broker runtime. The toolkit here shows you the projects created using the wizard. These are the project names that you provided on the previous screen. Slide 32. So if you expand the message set project, you would see there is a .in adapter file. There could be a .out adapter. If you had selected the outbound connection, we chose inbound, so we see the .in adapter file. Let's go to slide 34. So when you can drag the in adapter file. This file is pretty much same as the previous one. The only thing is, in this case, I've opened the message flow, my application flow on message flow, and as you can see, it's empty at the moment. But you have to drag the in adapter component into the message flow canvas, and then you will see the message flow with the SAP input node getting created. If it was a .out adapter component, you would have seen a SAP request node flow. The properties of these nodes are filled based on the adapter connection wizard tool and the credentials that you supplied there. But you can then build and expand this message flow based on the application logic that you have. You then have a full-fledged developed message flow along with the message set and adapter components. You just add them to your bar file and deploy them to the broker. Let's go to slide 34, please. So here you would see that I've dragged the in-adapter component into the message flow canvas, and you can see the message flow with the SAP adapter, SAP input node, and the properties are pre-filled for you. And as you can see, there's just a subflow node right after that. And basically, this is just passing your information from input to the output, but you can build all the peripherals around it, add more nodes, add compute nodes, and any nodes that you need if you need to do any transformation or any mapping nodes that you would need to do, in your message flow logic. So let's go to slide 35 now. This slide shows the runtime configuration that you would need to perform before the deployment of the bar file. So until slide number 34, we've created and we have created our message flows, and we have everything ready, and then we have deployed it to the message broker, to the execution group via the bar file. Now, before we perform the deployment, actually, you would need to do this configuration on the runtime as shown on this slide. So this, you can bring up your message broker explorer. This is the screenshot from MB Explorer, and you go to the configurable services under the message broker. As you can see on the left-hand side, the brokers, expand the brokers to see a broker called V7BK that has an execution group called test. And also there's a configurable services, and when I expanded that, I would see the EIS provider SAP configurable service, and that is the one that I need for SAP. Right click that and select properties, and when you select properties, it will show you the two, again, the jars URL and the native libs, the files, the location is what you need to provide here for the SAP connector jar and the library that you have downloaded, again, as a part of SAP Java connector. So you provide those properties here, and you can see at the bottom of the configurable property, it's building the MQSI change properties command for you, so it shows exactly what it's going to run. Let's go to slide 36 now. Now, while you provide the jars URL and native libs location here, you can actually see in the configurable service properties window the location and also the MQSI change property that is building. Alternatively, you can also manually run MQSI change properties command directly on the broker. I've given the command that I ran, and again, I've used the existing configurable service. You can then run MQSI report properties to display if the properties have been set correctly, and then you make sure you have to restart the broker to do that, to let the change take effect on the broker. Let's go to slide 37 now. So if you do not wish to use the existing configurable service, then you can also create a new configurable service. In this case, if you're creating a new configurable service, you would be required to provide all the properties, not just the jars URL and native libs. You can change some properties at the configurable service level rather than at the toolkit wizard level, which would mean you don't have to redeploy, but would still require a broker restart. So that's the advantage of having a configurable service, you know, a new configurable service, because you can override some of the properties in the adapter connection wizard, so you don't have to go through the entire process again of creating the new adapter connection and so on. You can just override the properties using the MQSI change properties on the existing configurable service command, on the existing configurable service that you have created. You can also modify it on the one that is shipped with the broker. So the EIS provider SAP that I have used, you can also change properties on that. But if you decide to create a new configurable service using MQSI create configurable service command or using MB Explorer, then make sure that the adapter component has the same name as configurable service. Otherwise, broker does not know which configurable service it needs to pick up. So because when a configurable service exists that has the same name as the node's adapter component, the node uses the values defined in that configurable service only, in addition to or override the properties from the adapter. If any properties on the configurable service are set to an empty string, those values are then picked up from the in adapter, the .in adapter or .out adapter file that was used. Let's go to slide 38 now. So with that, we conclude the way you have created the adapter connection wizard or configured the toolkit and configured the runtime. We've deployed the message flow, message set, and adapter component, and also the runtime. So you're ready to go with that part. Now we're going to discuss some of the new features available in Message Broker version 7. So going from top down, a single RFC program ID can allow multiple different kind of IDOCs to be handled by the different message flows. If you use a single RFC program ID, I mean, there is no need to do the redeployment or rediscovery. You can use a single RFC program ID associated with the different kinds of IDOCs. This was not there in the previous versions. It was a limitation version 6.1 early on that you had to use a unique RFC program ID per IDOC. Also, there is a SAP reply node that can be used to send a reply to the SAP synchronous call. It was not there in the previous versions again, and it has been introduced in version 7. Then there is a high availability HA feature for SAP input nodes that allows a multi-broker failover you have to use the MQHA multi-instance queue manager for that. But HA can be configured on the SAP input nodes via the multi-instance queue manager. This multi-instance queue manager is actually used as the TID store to avoid any duplication. So in case of failover, well, if it's processing a message and a failure occurs, then it needs to, because of HA processing, it switches over to the other message flow, to the secondary flow, but the transaction ID, because the transaction ID is stored in the queue manager, it makes sure that it does not do a duplicate processing. So that is one advantage of using HA multi-instance queue manager if you need to configure HA on SAP input node. I'm not elaborating much on this, but you can refer to Info Center, or you can write to me if you have any questions with respect to that. There is also a use wait parameter before calling the BAPI commit parameter for transactionality that can be used to control whether the SAP adapter waits for SAP to commit the updates synchronously, or it issues the commit and returns while the SAP commit happens asynchronously. So this use wait parameter is also a new feature, and the transactionality can be controlled with this. Let's go to slide 39 now. A new iterative discovery feature has been included in version 7 to add the newly discovered objects into an existing adapter component without modifying any existing objects. You can see a screenshot for that. Just right-click on the in-adapter component, and it gives you an option for performing the iterative discovery. Also, multiple adapters can now use the same connection configuration, and any user-defined operations are supported. If you recall, we saw there were create, update, and delete operations that were shown in the adapter connection wizard. You can also have some user-defined operations, and they are supported in version 7. Let's go to slide number 40. Version 7 has a new feature for deploying the new resources to an execution group without affecting the resources that are already deployed. This is made possible due to the introduction of primary and secondary adapters in version 7. basically, you define the primary adapters. The primary adapters supply the connection information, and also some interface information. The secondary adapters supply the rest of the interface information. There is also a primary message set associated with this primary adapter component, which contains a message model metadata for the parts of the interfaces that are supported by the node. And then there is a secondary message set, which defines the rest of the model. Basically, you create the adapters in the same way as you would define a regular adapter, but you have to change a property on the node, on the SAP request node or on the SAP input node. You can see on the screenshot, you go to the basic tab of the node and set the secondary adapter mode to all adapters in the execution group. By default, this is selected as none. The advantage of this is that if you have created and deployed a message flow to your execution group associated with the adapter, and you want to enhance it in the future, whenever you have a need to call, let's say, new services or new handles, new event types in SAP, then you can create a secondary adapter at that time and deploy it to the execution group that has the primary adapter deployed already. You make sure you have to deploy to the same execution group. There are certain guidelines that you need to follow. There are certain precautions that you need to be aware of. You would need to take these precautions, and these steps are listed. They're described in the Info Center, version 7 Info Center. I would suggest if you're doing this, you follow the Info Center steps. If you have any questions, again, feel free and email me. Let's go to slide number 41 now. You may be migrating from the old traditional WBI adapters to version 7 Message Broker, having the inbuilt adapters. As you can see on the first figure, the input comes from SAP to WBI adapters. This is the traditional figure. So traditionally, we had the input coming from SAP to WBI adapters that would put the message on a queue from where the MQ input node of your message flow would pick up the message and process it. The message was in WBIA format. In the next figure here, the message comes from SAP straight to SAP input node, which is created with the adapter connection wizard. The message format in this case is JCA, so there's a difference there. Let's go to slide number 42 now. So if you notice that difference in the message format, you would need to account for that. So we'll discuss it briefly here in slide 42. Basically, this slide talks about the migration steps involved when you're migrating. So first you import the message flow into Toolkit version 7, the old one, which had the MQ input node and that dealt with the ESQL, dealt with the WBIA format. You would create a new new SAP adapter connection now here in the new version 7 tool. You replace the in adapter component into your message flow. Replace the MQ input node that you had there with the SAP adapter connection or the SAP input node that you have after you have run the adapter connection wizard and created the in adapter file. So now you have the SAP input node. You replace the MQ input node with the SAP input node. So MQ input node is gone. The last step is now to change the ESQL. You have to actually change the ESQL to work with the new message model built by the new SAP adapter connection wizard. So the JCA message format needs to be accounted for in your ESQL. So your ESQL needs to be modified. Once you've made these changes, save the message flow, and your message flow is ready for version 7, you can deploy it to work with the message broker version 7. Slide 43, please. Here's a couple of performance parameters that can be used for performance tuning. There's number of listeners on the inbound SAP adapter. Listener tuning is applicable to inbound interfaces only. Listeners control the maximum number of concurrent calls that are coming from SAP system to SAP input node. So if you increase the number of listeners, you have the capability to handle more number of calls at the same time from SAP system. But this property needs to be configured and adjusted with reference to your instances, the message flow instances or the SAP input node instances that you are going to be using. So that property, both these properties need to be configured carefully. So if you keep increasing the number of listeners on the SAP input node, just the number of listeners on the SAP adapter, and you don't have, and you're dealing with just a single instance of your SAP input node or a single instance of your message flow, it's not going to do you any good because, yes, adapter got handled 5 or 10 or 15 concurrent calls coming from the SAP server, but it won't be able to feed to the message flow because message flow is only, there's only a single instance of flow running. So it will only pick up the next message once it's committed the first transaction. So you have to make sure that if you increase instances, depending on the size of the message, the kind of messages you are processing, and also the size and the kind of flow, the size of the complexity of the flow. So you can you can configure the additional instances either on the SAP input node itself or on the bar file to enhance the throughput. SAP input node, there's a difference. You can increase the instances of just the SAP input node but leave the message flow instance the same, or you can increase the complete message flow instances via your bar file. Let's go to slide 44 now. This foil shows what documents you can gather or review if you have any problems. So for connectivity issues during the adapter connection discovery process, one could look at the discovery logs configured on Adapter Connection Wizard. We saw that in the advanced, when we expanded the advanced option on the Adapter Connection Wizard, you could configure the RFC tracing and you could also provide the location of discovery logs. There is also the toolkit.log that might be helpful depending on where the problem is occurring. Again, the RFC traces can be enabled during the discovery as well as during the service and bug business object generation. So during the service generation, again, that's post-discovery, you can enable the RFC traces on either side. So if you're configuring the RFC trace, if you're enabling the RFC trace on the service generation side, it traces the physical communication between your SAP adapter to SAP Java connector going to SAP server via the network and back and forth. So if there is a problem with let's say with the network, or there's a problem that you think might be with the Java connection, with respect to the connector, or with respect to its communication on the SAP server, you would need to enable that. You can, of course, open a PMR, and we would be able to tell you exactly what doc you need. But here's a few references for you to be aware of, that these might be the things that would be helpful. For runtime issues, we go by standard broker syslogs. You can have trace node inserted in your message flows, and that can give us some idea of what your message structure looked like and where the problem would have occurred. We also sometimes need to gather execution group service traces. That might be useful to debug the problems. Let's go to slide 45. Here are some additional resources that may be helpful for your understanding of adapters and WMB version 7 integration. There's also, at the bottom of the screen, there's also a link for message broker common problems and solution with SAP nodes. This was one of the WSTs done earlier, late last year or earlier this year sometime. And this gives you very detailed explanation on different scenarios where the problem might be occurring, different troubleshooting techniques, and also some of the scenarios, some of the known scenarios, known problematic scenarios. In addition, there's also the integration of a WebSphere adapter for SAP with Message Broker version 6.1, so the older version, the way it used to work. Let's go to slide 46 now. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. You can visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assist consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning of the learning curve quickly. This is a very useful site. The SR tool is a passport advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Slide 47. And that concludes our presentation. Any questions at this stage are welcome. I hand over back to Joseph.
Thank you, Vivek, for a great presentation. So at this point in time, Jackie, if you can open the lines for questions, that would be perfect.
Yes, we do have a question from Marcus Sonderegger. Your line is open.
Two questions. We are just evaluating if we shall use these app adapter nodes or pulling out IDOC out from a database using a classical database node, which would force us to parse the IDOC. Can you explain me how we would have to parse the IDOC and what would be the overhead compared to these app nodes?
So let me see if I understand the question right. You're saying if you're acting in instead of the SAP input node, you would use a database node to retrieve the data from the database, from the SAP database?
That's correct.
Okay, and you would like to know what would be, sorry, I missed the last part, and you want to know what would be the difference in the two?
Sure, sure. I mean, if we retrieve the data from a SAP database table, it will be in an IDOC format, apparently what the SAP guys have told me.
Right.
Now, we would have to parse this IDOC format.
That is,
we can convert it into a SOAP message.
Right. So if you're using the database node to retrieve the data, the IDOCs from the SAP database, you would need to make sure that you process it properly. So, you know, you either have a message set defined, you have to create the message set, or you need to write the kind of ESQL depending on the kind of processing you're doing, but you have to make sure, you know, if you're processing the data, the actual data coming from the SAP database. In our case, with SAP input node, first of all, you have a message set which is already created. You just run the adapter connection wizard. It creates all the business objects for you. So it saves you all that hassle. Secondly, you're retrieving the data from SAP, and you may be working, you know, you may be working with that data, in which case, again, you would need to make sure the ESQL that you are going to code will have to make an account for that. So ESQL processing, I would think, would not change, would be different in the two scenarios, but you would need to perform that. However, in SAP, in the toolkit, you would save much time on the development. And I think for runtime, depending on the kind of node you're using, if you're using a regular compute node or a database node, going, you know, where the, if there's some issues with respect to, you know, if there's delays on that, then you would encounter some issues there. But I think that would not be much different if you compare it with the SAP. But I think my take is if you would just save time on the development, and you would save a lot of time.
Yes, but the question is really, How would I build an IDOC parser? Because I think it is using a TDS parser. Whereas if I'm using the SAP node, I already have a message that's generated. I mean, you didn't show how the message is looking like once I have it in a compute node, or how the message set is looking like. But I assume.
Okay. Because I think we focus more on the connectivity point. I can show you what a message looks like once it comes in. I think it would be better if you can email me, and I can send you a sample of how a message would look like when it comes into when the data is retrieved from SAP and comes into the message flow. So I think it would be better because that would make it a lot more clearer.
Yeah. One last question, and then I'm finished. Is how would I build an IDOC parser? Is there some support in Message Broker for generating an IDOC parser like I do with COBOL Copybook or with an XML schema?
If I had
the IDOC, I mean, I don't know if there is a metadata describing the IDOC format I could load and then generate the TDS parser.
I think it would need to be created just like any other user-defined objects and user-defined parsers that you would create within Message Broker. But I don't have much details on that. I can get it for you, but it would just be, obviously, what we ship with Message Broker is, you know, using the SAP interface, using the adapter interface, we do the parsing. But if the adapter that is doing the conversion for you, but if you're not using the adapters and you want to create the parser within the Message Broker, then you would need to create it as a user-defined parser. And I don't have much details on how you would build that, but I can get them for you. Again, if you want to email me, you're welcome to email.
I'll do that. Okay. Thank you for the
help. Sure, thank you.
And we do have another question from Sharath Kaja. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hi, Vivek. This is Sharath. Yeah, actually, I have a couple of questions regarding this SAP adapter. Currently, we are using Message Broker 6.1 with SAP adapter, and like if we want to migrate from version 6.1 to 7.0, like do you have any specific document, like what are the steps that we need to take, like if we want to migrate the flows from 6.1 to 7.0, which has this SAP input and request nodes?
So Sharad, with version 6.1, it shouldn't be that hard because 6.1 also provided the adapters, but it didn't have as many features and as much flexibility as you have in version 7. But the kind of nodes you have in your version 6.1 flow, you know, if it's a plain, you can pretty much just import your projects into version 7.2, version 7 toolkit. But if you have, you're using like maps, or if you're using, you know, some other nodes that you would need to migrate, you have to run the migration of the message flows also. But as far as just migrating the adapters, the projects are concerned, you could import them into version 7, and you should be able to establish connections, because the connection information isn't going to change. The business object definitions would not change either.
Okay, so we don't have to rebuild the adapter components.
Yeah, in my understanding, you shouldn't have to. No.
Okay. And also, like if you want to stop or start the message flows which has these SAP nodes, like we always had problems, like for example, if a flow has MQ input node and output node, like we never had any problems, like you can write, you can stop and start the message flows, but like if it has SAP nodes, like it never starts or never restarts properly, like we ended up like redeploying the whole flow or recycling the execution group.
So you're saying that when you try to stop the message flow, it doesn't stop, or when you try to start it, it doesn't start?
No, it will stop and start, but it never reconnects to SAP backend SAP system in a proper way.
Unless you redeploy.
Yeah, unless I redeploy the flow.
Okay, I think there is a no NAPAR in that area. It's fixed in version 7. I think it's also fixed in version 6.105. What fixed pack level are you running?
Currently we are on 6.104.
Right, I think it's fixed in fixed pack 05. I've seen issues like that reported by some people. If not, we can always build a fix for you at 6.104 level.
Okay.
So I would suggest for that you would open a PMR, and we can take it from there.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's all I'm done.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
We have no other questions at this time.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.